It's Air Talk on KPCC. Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle today. Pretty much every time you buy a beverage in California, you are depositing 5 or 10 cents that you'll get back later once the soda is gone and you recycle its plastic or aluminum container. However, right now, the system is at a crossroads. It's a lot harder to redeem bottles and cans for cash in the state of California today. That's because earlier this week, the state's largest chain of recycling redemption centers shut down. 750 employees were laid off when the remaining 284 Replanet centers closed. That includes a ton here in Los Angeles. So what is next for recycling in California? And will the state have to step in to prop up the recycling industry? How is this business going to go forward? We want to talk with Martin Bork, Executive Director of the Ecology Center in the city of Berkeley, a nonprofit that advocates for various issues related to health and environmental impact of urban residents. Martin, thanks for joining Air Talk today. I appreciate it. And I think a lot of people might be confused about the role of Replanet in the whole recycling system. Can you talk about what they did and how it fits into the way we recycle in California?
Great to be on your show this morning. Sure, Replanet is a company that offers buyback services to residents around the state of California where people could in the past redeem their cans and bottles. As many folks know, California is one of 11 states in the country that has a deposit bottle return system called the California Redemption Value, or CRV. And you see it on every beverage container in the state. And basically, you pay at the register 5 cents for smaller cans and bottles and 10 cents for larger cans and bottles. And then you can redeem those back at designated recycling stations, or buyback centers, as they're called. And so Replanet ran those buyback centers across the state with hundreds of locations. There are many, many others who do the same service, and many grocers who provide that service at their registers. And the idea was to try and move the deposit system out of the grocers and have them at adjacent retail or buyback locations. And due to a number of factors that Replanet has cited, they have are closing down those buyback locations throughout the state. So that will restrict where people can redeem their cans and bottles around the state pretty significantly.
What was the breaking point for Replanet? Why was this suddenly a business that couldn't go on in this climate?
Yeah, there are a few factors that they've cited, and there have been many other closures over the last several years as well. They held on a good long time, but really multiple forces, I think, came into play. First and foremost, the deposit system works such that when they give people back the 5 or 10 cents, what Replanet would get is the scrap value for those materials. So if it's aluminum cans, aluminum has pretty high value relative to some other types of materials that are out there. And so they could then turn around and sell the aluminum while the redemption, the actual cash value, that the deposit is given to the customer who's selling those, bringing back, redeeming those cans and bottles, and then Replanet would get reimbursed from the state on that. But their basic business model is based on the scrap value, and then the state is supposed to make up the difference between the value of scrap and the cost of recycling. And when scrap values plummeted several years ago for most of the materials, and then took another dive on other materials as well, the payments from the state didn't keep up with the difference between the scrap value and the operating costs. Add to that increased operating costs in terms of environmental compliance, local living wage, and minimum wage laws, and other operating expenses. And basically, you know, they didn't have another revenue source or another business model to rely on. And so that business model of just being able to do a standalone buyback program is pretty underwater right now. And the ones that are really holding on and are able to continue offering this redemption service around the state are typically places that not only offer a buyback service, but maybe also have a curbside collection contract or are a large garbage company and have garbage hauling interests or do other services as well.
They're more diversified. They have more lines of revenue to keep them afloat. Martin Bork, I'm curious, you know, for people who rely on this for their income or part of their income, that's many homeless people or people who live in their cars or very low income people. Have you heard of the way that the Replanet closure has hurt them?
Well, we haven't heard directly from them. There, you know, unfortunately, aren't a plethora of statewide or national homeless advocacy organizations that are really keyed in on this issue. But here in Berkeley, we have a local buyback center. And just in Berkeley, there's $1 million worth of redemption that happens at that site. That's $1 million going into the pockets of people who are living really day to day. And it keeps a lot of people off the street at night. And so you can imagine, you know, with 750 employees and 250 locations, how many people and how much money Replanet was, you know, giving out through these redemptions. And yes, it's definitely going to impact those on the lowest level of the economic ladder here, and probably exacerbate an already extreme crisis in homelessness in our state.
I want to welcome people who may be in that situation. If you redeem bottles and cans on a regular basis, if this is something that you do for extra pocket change or for to supplement your income, give us a call, 866-893-5722. If the Replanet closures and the closures of other recycling centers across California have been hurtful to you, if you have seen you know, closed doors that you cannot go to redeem bottles and cans, and then that's hurting your bottom line, 866-893-5722. Martin Bork with the Ecology Center in Berkeley. Is there conversations happening about the state stepping in here and upping the subsidies? If the recycling centers are not sustainable, what happens?
Yeah, there are a number of administrative fixes that the state is trying, having some difficulty, I would say, in the state legislature getting the right language and the right bills through. Last year, there was an effort. This year, there's another effort. I think that if they can get it, you know, the time that it takes for a statewide billion-dollar a year program to make changes, can't keep up with the pace that the market changes. The market is changing every day, every month. And so hopefully some of the administrative changes that they're making will be able to shore up the programs that remain. And then there's also talk of creating some funding for starting up new programs or trying to reestablish programs that have had to close.
Yeah, that's Martin Bork with the Ecology Center in Berkeley. Coming up, we're going to talk to somebody who is in the business of recycling nationwide to talk about the realities of that business, the way it's been changing, the way it works, because I think a lot of people don't understand this marketplace. I certainly did not before learning more about what's happened to Replanet. I'm Libby Dankman in for Larry Mantle here on Air Talk. We're going to be back after just a short break. Really quickly, I want to update you on that report of the USA Today headquarters in Virginia evacuating because of a report of a man with a weapon. The newspaper is reporting on itself, and according to USA Today, the report of a person with a weapon was mistaken. So there was a large evacuation, large police presence, but it appears to have been a false alarm. We will stay on that story, keep you updated as things unfold. Again, Libby in for Larry today on Air Talk, back in a minute. We're talking recycling on Air Talk today. I'm Libby Dankman in for Larry. And the changes in the business, the reality of which caused a large recycling chain in California to close. It's called Replanet. And that means a lot of people are having trouble redeeming bottles and cans across the state right now. on the line with us is somebody in the business as well. They're still going strong. Pete Keller is Vice President of Recycling and Sustainability at Republic Services. It's one of the country's largest waste and recycling companies. They're headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona, and they have operations in Northern and Southern California. Mr. Keller, thanks for being on Air Talk today. And can you give me a sense of the way this business has been changing lately? What are the realities that you're seeing at Republic Services?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Interesting conversation about CRV just a few minutes ago. Just wanted to provide your listeners a little bit, I guess, broader perspective of the recycling marketplaces. CRV is an important thing in California, and certainly helps recyclers.
And that's the redemption value. That's that deposit, the 5 or 10 cent. If you're just tuning in, that Martin Bork was mentioning earlier. Go ahead, Mr. Keller.
I'm sorry, but I do want to let your listeners know that that's just a very small part of the recycling business. So maybe 10 to 15% of all recyclable material have CRV attached to it in California. The majority of recyclable materials are actually fiber-based or paper-based. So think about all those cardboard boxes, e-commerce, and all that junk mail, all that other packaging that's fiber-based. That's really the majority of recycling, not only in California, but the U.S. There was some discussion about China and China dropping out of the marketplace. In the Western U.S., China was the predominant market for recyclables. So most of the paper in the Western U.S. Always went to China. In fact, they were 40% of the global marketplace. So when China stepped out, all that material had to find alternate markets. And had to do that overnight. So it was really a structural shock to the marketplace.
Yeah, that must have been just an incredible shift in your business. And you do curbside pickup at Republic Services. So as we were speaking about before, does that mean that you are more diversified in the materials that you're processing and also maybe more protected against these kinds of major ripple effects from China and other changes? Or is this still a big deal to you?
It's a huge deal. Certainly being an integrated company, transfer, landfill, collection, all that insulates us a little bit more from the shock in the recycling markets, but a huge impact. On a relative basis, 2 years ago, it was common for cardboard to trade around $200 a ton. Today in California, it's worth about $20 a ton. Similarly, mixed paper in California was fetching around about $100 a ton. And today, generally, we move it for zero. So we collect it after we process it, after we bale it, after we ready it for market. It still goes to market and it still is recycled, but it's worth zero. So, historically, the value in the commodities paid for the service, paid for the cost of the driver, the truck, paid to process the material. At the end of the day, there was enough value still to pay for all those services. Today, with the value being so diminished, there really isn't revenue in the system to pay for these services. So what we've had to do, not only in California, but other parts of the country, is approach our customers and explain what's going on in the marketplace. Let them know that the value in the commodities no longer can pay for the business. And we've had to, in most cases, raise rates to consumers. Now, a lot of people would like to know, well, how much is that? If you say to a layperson, if you're going to pay a dollar to throw something away, would you pay a dollar to recycle it? And everybody's going to say yes. In most parts of the country, that's not the system that exists. So most parts of the country, people pay for their garbage services, but in a lot of instances, recycling is actually free. As an industry, we haven't been transparent over time what the true cost of recycling is. So, getting that narrative out there, getting more education out there, just informing customers has been real helpful over the course of the last couple of years, but we still haven't caught that lag in the lack of commodity value.
So the market forces are one thing. The amount the government steps in and subsidizes the industry is another. The way that you can control pricing is one of the ways you have your own destiny in your hands. What could a state like California do to keep your industry strong from your perspective? And again, I'm speaking with Pete Keller, who's vice president of recycling and sustainability at Republic Services. It's one of the country's largest waste and recycling companies. Mr. Keller, what can the state of California, other states do to keep a recycling business strong so that we don't see a major disruption for consumers down the line?
California's got a long history of being, you know, considered one of the most progressive, if not the most progressive state in the U.S. So, you know, when you consider the fairly aggressive recycling goals, whether it's 50% residential, 75% commercial, there's a lot of new goals around organics and food waste diversion. So all of that legislation is meant to increase diversion recycling. And it's not a good job to do that. What California is currently considering is legislation that would mandate the type of packaging that is sold in the state. So, and primarily single-use packaging. But this is the first time that California has considered legislation that addresses the demand side of a marketplace. All the recycling and diversion goals really address the supply side of the marketplace. So it'll be interesting over the course of the next couple of years to see if that type of public policy can help increase the value of certain types of materials in the recovered or commodities marketplace. You know, from a subsidization standpoint, there's some discussion in Sacramento about whether they're called advanced recycling fees or other types of fees to help encourage investment in recycling infrastructure. A lot of the infrastructure in California and in the U.S. was built 10 and 15 years ago to address certain types of recycling programs. A large part of a recycling program 10 years ago would have been newspaper. And we see very little newspaper today because of the decline in circulation.
Ah, how things change over the years, Mr. Keller. We're going to have to leave it at that as we run out of time here in the hour. But you've been a wealth of information about your business at the recycling the industry as it comes upon a real crossroads in California with Replanet closing its doors, the recycling center that accepts bottles and cans and gives people back their deposits. Pete Keller is Vice President of Recycling and Sustainability at Republic Services. We also heard from Martin Bork, Executive Director of the Ecology Center in the city of Berkeley. I'm Libby Denkman. We're going to continue the conversation with a segment coming up on Air Talk about the ways that we can root out violent extremism before more people are subject to a horrific attack like what happened in El Paso last weekend, but also the ways that those efforts by the government can cause civil rights violations. And the Muslim community in Southern California has experienced that over the years. They would like to speak, and we're going to welcome some Muslim community voices coming up next.